Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is talking about net zero in the United Kingdom. Now, Republic of Ireland, we're pushing towards that as well. In fact, the whole European Union is. The United Kingdom is outside the European Union, has been for over 5 years, but nevertheless has this target. So what is that? Is that you take into account the energy used and the energy generated, and net, that will be zero carbon emissions. And how do you emit carbons? Is by burning fossil fuels, really, coal, gas, and oil. So there might be some oil, gas, and coal that is burnt, but that could be neutral by planting enough trees to absorb it all, by the United Kingdom generating so much renewable electricity, it could sell some to other countries to reduce their carbon footprint and so on. So the Greens have been talking about this about 40 years. And the technology in terms of wind turbines was proven back in the 1970s by the Danes, but it was just eye-wateringly expensive. And like all technology, as it gets better, it also gets cheaper. I remember the year 2000, the United Kingdom generated about 1% of its electricity from renewable sources. It's now about 45%, but that's just electricity, because there's other energy which is not electric, because, you know, there's some cars run on petrol or diesel or various trucks and buses and things like that. Can't think a few people are burning wood. Very, very people wearing coal or charcoal or whatever. Take that into account. I think the United Kingdom's got no functioning coal mines now. There's still ones that could function. Does have some oil and gas fields. The Labour government has refused to authorise more in the North Sea. So net zero, and that was a part of a law passed under Cameron. Remember David Cameron, Prime Minister 2010 to 2016, became a leader of the Conservative Party in 2005. Invented the slogan, vote blue, go green. Blue being the conservative colour. He brought in the tree as the logo, partly because of ecology, but also that's continuity, that's stability, it's pleasing, it's preserving nature. It's also like a metaphor for the family and things like that. Even for the royal family, ducal families being great oaks of the English constitution and so forth. Now, Sir Tony Blair, he tried to make some sort of steps in the green direction, but I remember, I think, reading John Rentoul's anticipatory biography of him in the 1990s, even before he became prime minister, and saying that Blair, even in the 80s, he talked about the environment a bit, but Rentoul said it gave every sign of simply cynical positioning, trying to appeal to some of the youth vote. Remember the late 1980s, people banging on about the ozone layer and stuff like that, and there's only just seeping into the public consciousness, getting catalytic converters, going to unleaded petrol and so on, and it has improved air quality drastically in many Western cities. There's places like in India and Pakistan is horrendous, because I'm not sure they've done this. But Sir Tony Blair, Prime Minister 1997 to 2007, Labour's longest serving Prime Minister, who won three elections, is a hate figure for many because of Iraq. So he doesn't make many public interventions, and he obviously said he doesn't want to make the life of a Labour leader even harder than it already is. But he said the net zero policies, which are aimed at reducing energy consumption and particularly production of fossil fuels, is definitely going to fail. Now, I think he's overly pessimistic on this one, but I realize there is some merit in what he says. So I remember a colleague 20 years ago saying to me, OK, we're going to go for net zero. Which politician's going to have the cojones to tell us we're going to live less well? You have to live in a smaller house, use less electricity, less heating, not wash your clothes so much or use the cooker so much. If you're going to have a car, it's going to be an electric car, not drive so far, not go on so many foreign holidays, not purchase so many items, because almost every item you purchase, that represents energy usage. Let's see, you know, you buy a T-shirt, the cotton was farmed in wherever, in Uzbekistan, and, you know, fuel was used for the tractor or whatever that harvested that, and then it was transported by truck, train, ship to a factory. That's energy usage. Turned into a t-shirt, that's energy usage. Shipped to wherever you bought it, that's energy usage. The lights were on there, and the people were traveling to and from there, and all the rest. So every item, that's just a t-shirt, for example. So we're gonna have to buy fewer items, that's it. You know, the factory's using electricity, which is often generated from burning fuel of any kind, you know, coal, gas, oil. Coal is the worst. Ton of oil will give you more energy and won't be quite so bad for the environment. Gas is actually quite clean. Coal is very bad. I remember I was in Astana, Kazakhstan, 10 years ago. There was all this smell like tar in the air. Not a particularly bad smell. It's only much later I found out that's burning coal to generate electricity because they've got loads of it. So why do people burn coal when it's not that efficient and it's quite polluting? Because it's very cheap and some countries have got a lot of it. It's not that easy to transport because it's not a liquid. You can't put it down a pipeline. All right. So you can generate obviously renewable by wind turbines, by ducks on the sea, by hydroelectricity, dams on the river, by solar panels. Obviously, a fairly cloudy country like the United Kingdom, solar panels don't work that well. But because it's by the side of the Atlantic, there's loads of potential for wind capture. But you want to put these offshore wind turbines. That's what gets the most wind, steadiest wind, in under 60 meters of water. Below 60 meters, the cost just goes up astronomically. It's just uneconomic. And one of the big floating ones costs about £1 billion. You'll get it back. The trouble with the offshore ones is they're very expensive to set up and difficult to service, but you will get the money back. So, I mean, a cheaper solution, which doesn't provide that much electricity, is have them onshore. The windiest place is onshore. And by the way, when you want them offshore, in under 60 meters of water, find the most consistently windy places because it varies a lot. And so forth. So, and David Cameron, despite all this unctuous babble about renewable energy, I mean, I agree with the policy, but he said one thing and did another, and then he made onshore wind effectively impossible with this legislation. So we need these places all over the place. So anyway, the energy costs have gone up. I mean, the United Kingdom could be all renewable already, but the cost would just be enough to crash the economy. It's high enough as it is, and other countries have got low energy costs. But the long run, it's cleaner. Supposing we didn't use oil and gas at all in the world, or coal, cleaner air, fewer carbon emissions, and less global warming. The ice cap's not melting, the glacier's not melting, the sea level's not rising. And what else? No oil spills, no these big fires and explosions that happen because of oil refineries or anything like that. What else? More energy independence, not having to purchase it. And as luck would have it, or ill luck would have it, a lot of the hydrocarbons happen to be in tyrannical states like Saudi Arabia, like Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Russia. There's also the curse of the resource-rich economy, like Nigeria, where like 98% of the export earnings come from one thing, that's oil, which really skews the economy, screws it too. And the well-paid job system in one sector, which really deprives other sectors of well-paid, talented, hardworking people, and so on. So the climate paradox, why we need to reset action on climate, is about Blair. I says the United States, sorry, the United Nations hasn't made much progress on this. The United States is going the other direction. The Chinese, they are building all these coal-fired power stations. Having said that, even they've taken action on climate, well, sort of on air quality, because it was killing people. They wanted to lift their people out of poverty, and they've largely done it. They are starting to worry about, air quality. So the air quality in major Chinese cities is often 200 PI, whatever parts per million. And in Beijing, it was sometimes 500. 200 was horrendous, I can tell you. The worst you get in a big major city, Western cities, like 50. London's about 20 sometimes. It's a lot worse in my lifetime. The lead of petrol we used to have, I don't know we're allowed anymore, affects the brain. You can make a graph of lead of petrol emissions and crime. It's almost the same graph because, of course, it affects the brain. In the 90s, that started to come down. Crime started to come down. There's obviously a connection. I know it's not everything. So it's very expensive. And obviously, there are people anti-scientific like Nigel Farage saying, oh, no, it's nonsense. There is no climate change, or it's not anthropogenic, or blah, blah, blah. And I know we have ice ages. And I know the climate does change anyway, but it's never changed so fast. I would love to believe we could pollute with gay abandon. It wouldn't have any repercussions for us, but it does. So anyway, it makes things more expensive, energy more expensive. And then some things like manufacturing or farming, they're very energy intensive. Some things like office work is not that energy intensive. Does he see the comments? Do I see the comments? Yes, I do, energy. And under Rishi Sunak, they put down back the net zero target by 5 years. Now, Labour castigated that. So far as I know, they haven't brought it back to where it used to be. And I agree with putting it back. And people say we're 5 minutes to midnight with the environment. I mean, I think that's a little bit of scaremongering, but yeah, it is a serious situation. We're just going to have to get used to having less space, purchasing less items. And another way that it wrecks the environment is there are tons of clothes in the United Kingdom, tons every single year, that are buried, never having been sold. Manufactured, bad for the environment, transported, on sale for a year. Nobody buys it. Rather than give it to the poor, we just bury it. That's how wasteful capitalism can be. And I'm a capitalist. So only buy the things you need, recycle, reuse. swap clothes if you'll get bored of your clothes. Anyway, but Labour is very much a credit to greet to this green agenda. Ed Miliband is indeed the Secretary of State for Net Zero, who was the leader of the Labour Party very unsuccessfully, 2010 to 2015. People are even talking about as a future leader. And I'm thinking Keir Starmer will probably stand down right before the next election because he's done so badly and he's dragging Labour down. Labour won despite him, not because of him last time, and hand over to the junior generation, somebody who can command greater support and actually galvanise people. We're not even a year into the Labour government and they've suffered some dreadful local election results. Their only hope is that Reform UK will split the anti-Labour vote. Right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure to subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.